When you look at a garden, it's easy to just see biology at work, photosynthesis, soil science, that kind of thing.
Sure, the basic mechanics.
But for this deep dive, we're going to look at it through a completely different lens. We're digging into the botanical verses of the Quran, but with modern science and classical metaphysics.
Specifically, Ash'ari occasionalism.
Exactly. Our mission today is to break what we call the anesthesia of familiarity.
I like that phrase.
It's that feeling where you see a seed sprout for the 100th time and you stop seeing the sheer miracle of it. We want to show you that the green in your backyard is actually a profound theological argument.
That's a great way to put it. Because in the sources, the plant kingdom really has two main functions. First, it's living proof of continuous divine agency, moment by moment.
So it's not on autopilot?
Not at all. And second, that whole cycle of life and death in the soil is presented as empirical evidence for the afterlife, for the Akira.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with the metaphysics. Occasionalism sounds incredibly dense.
It does, but the core idea is actually pretty simple. It suggests that what we call natural laws, gravity, biology, they aren't independent forces inside of matter. They're more like the consistent and predictable habits of God. He is the sole direct cause of everything that happens, every single moment.
So when a seed sprouts, we're not just watching chemistry unfold, we're witnessing a direct, continuous divine act.
Precisely. And the text makes this incredibly clear by drawing a sharp line between two different kinds of action.
The human versus the divine.
Yes, the human role is called hearth. It's the labor, the plowing, the sowing of the seed. It's all the effort you put in.
Right.
But the actual growth, the process that turns that seed into a plant, the cell division, the DNA replication, that's called zar. And that is purely divine. You can't will a cell to divide.
That distinction is critical, but it does raise a question then. If God is the one doing the czar, the actual growing, why is the farmer accountable for the harvest? Why do you pay dues on it?
And that is the perfect question. Theology resolves this with the concept of kaz, or acquisition. The human being acquires the action by aligning their will and effort with it.
So you're responsible for your hearth, for your effort and intention?
Exactly. You acquire the deed, even though the miracle that produces the result is from God alone.
This dual agency model is fascinating, and this idea of complexity, it actually leads to a kind of scientific riddle presented in the text, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. Surah 13 asks a really profound question. It asks how you can have all these different fruits, grapes, dates, olives growing in the same soil, watered with one water, yet they excel each other in taste.
Meaning they're chemically completely different. If the input is the same, water, soil, you'd expect the output to be, well, uniform.
But it's not. And modern science, of course, gives us the answer: genetics. Each seed contains a unique, complex code. The date palm is programmed to synthesize sugars.
And the olive is programmed for lipids, for oil.
Exactly. This incredible diversity, this, aesthetic surplus, points to a conscious designer who intended variety, not just some bland, accidental uniformity.
Okay, and here's where it gets really interesting. Because this whole botanical cycle, this proof of agency and design, it's all pointing towards one ultimate theological purpose.
Proving the resurrection, Al-Bath.
Yes. The text lays it out like an empirical experiment. It describes the earth as hamida, lifeless, dormant, still.
Dead soil.
And then water comes down. And the earth, it tadzat, it stirs, it shakes and rabat, it swells and grows. That stirring isn't just mud getting wet.
It's very likely the reactivation of billions of dormant microorganisms. It's dead chemistry roaring back into life.
And from that observable yearly miracle, the text draws the final conclusion.
It does. It's a direct analogy. The logic is, if God can revive the lifeless land right in front of your eyes, then the power to revive human beings from dust is demonstrably there. Similar is the emergence.
So the takeaway for you, really, is that a garden isn't just a source of food. It's not just a nice view. It's a stack of signs, a constant cure for that anesthesia of familiarity.
Absolutely. And while the green foliage of this world is beautiful but transient, it fades, it withers. The ultimate promise is the eternal garden, Jenna. That's where the seeds of our deeds in this life, our kaz, are finally harvested.
A powerful thought to end on.
This raises an important question. What kind of seeds are you sowing?